I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Hello and welcome to Monday Morning Deep Dish. My name is Shepherd Price. With me today, as usual, is Chanel.
Hi.
And LBR.
Hi.
So nice to be with you too.
Yeah. As usual, Janelle has the questions, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think today is going to be really fun. We've got a lot to talk about. And I was trying to go over like what our theme would be, because, you know, in the past we did goalies and defense, and I really think the theme today is we have analytics. So there's a lot of really great stuff for us to talk about, but I also wanted to start out with a shout out to all of our SB Nation writers, and Second City Hockey, obviously. I just want to say, like, it's been fantastic, working with all of you, and a shout out to our fans too. Like, thank you for supporting us and doing what we love. So I just want to say that, you really like prop us up, and it's just great to have this SB Nation family. So thank you. So let's get going with the big questions. What does it mean to be a good team in today's NHL? What do you think about that?
I'm going to let Shepherd go first.
Okay.
There was always ladies first on this podcast. Yeah. And I'm like, let's get Shepherd, push him to the front.
To be a good team, I think you have to have a little bit of two things. And that's actual...
good jerseys.
Well, yeah. I mean, but there are teams with bad jerseys who have won the Cup before. I mean, weren't the Dallas Stars good around the Muteris sort of era?
Oh, goodness.
That, like, the Astro cow. You need to have a little bit of good systems that has good players in it. where you see good amounts of shot generation and shot domination and a little bit of luck. Because if you look at the last like five cup winning teams, and that's how we sort of define success in the NHL, is who wins the cup, whether that's how success should be defined or not, and whether it should actually be the President's Cup, because it takes longer to win and it's probably harder to win, is up for debate. But there have been recently, like, the best teams in the regular season have won the cup a few times in the last 5 years. For example, 15-16, the Pittsburgh Penguins, one of the best teams, I think, of the modern era. They were second in shot share and first in expected goal share in the regular season, and then first in shot share and first in expected goal share in the playoffs. They won the cup that year. They were clearly the best team. That's how you sort of define success, is looking at that team. Even Tampa Bay last season was third in expected goal share and then fifth in expected goal share in the playoffs. So they were a good team in the regular season, and they were a good team in the playoffs against good teams. And that's sort of how the playoffs have broken down recently, is the best teams in the regular season tend to be the best teams in the playoffs, except Washington, the season they won, because they were 27th in shot share and 26th in expected goal share. They were bad.
But second,
they just had
shooting percentage. Yeah.
They had an insane PDO that whole season.
Yeah.
And part of that is Alex Ovechkin, who always sort of tends to have a high PDO, but you kind of need a good balance of both. And if you don't have a good balance of both, you need probably PDO, which is maybe the most important stat in the NHL, to be insanely high, like Washington.
And so just to remind everybody, could you explain a little bit more about what PDO is specifically?
It's basically puck luck. The NHL, I think, and hockey in general, is the most sort of luck-based sport out there, because it tends to be the most chaotic sort of sport. There's sort of an order to football, where like the Chiefs are clearly a great team, and so they win games. And there's an order to basketball, where LeBron needs AD to be good, but once they're together, they're great. There's not generally an order to hockey. And so PDO is basically puck luck. It's shooting percentage plus save percentage. And that sort of determines how good a team is at keeping both the puck out and getting the puck in.
I think it's probably important to note that PDO also, as a season progresses, the more information you have, it's technically over 100 games and a season isn't that long, but PDO usually and should try to regress to the mean. Whenever we bring up regression in the comments, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about, hey, they're riding a PDO that's too high or too low, so they're going to regress back to what is considered normal or average in the NHL. Some teams don't ever hit that because, again, it's not a full sample yet. Some teams ride it all the way to the end. The 2014 Avs is a perfect example of that. You know, they rode that all the way to the end. The Caps did it too. They were actually better in the playoffs than they were in the regular season. And I don't know if that's because they went through Columbus and Columbus wasn't great and a couple of other teams, but usually it regresses. And I think Shepard's exactly right that there are lots of good teams. Any team that's like above 50% everything, it's really going to be close if you match up against another team, but a good amount of luck being able to like get your chances and it just happens to go in, whether or not they make their own luck. In some cases, like you say, Ovechkin always has high PDO because he's highly skilled. So he's just going to shoot better. His quality of chance is just going to be better. I think Patrick Kane is another example of that. Patrick Kane always has like, his metrics aren't the best, but he's always one of the best offensively. But, you know, there's a skill level there. So
I find it really interesting that like through our podcast that we've done so far, you've both talk so much about luck. And this was not a question that I hadn't thought about this before, but, you know, is there something like what flaws in analytics might uncover this idea of luck? I mean, because it's a game, like you've said, like it just seems like you can't call these things. Right. So,
well, yeah, cause Shepard is exactly right. It's very chaotic. It's the most variable sport out there. There's just so much that can go on. There's way too much geometry.
What about curling?
In the wrong way. It's such an interesting, because when people think of luck, they mean like lucky bounces. Like, oh, it hits a state here, it goes there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just so many more surfaces. But it's even just small things that are not even that noticeable. It's like the slight, like the ice isn't completely even, you know, that there's basketball has a completely smooth surface. And, you know, it's just, it's an interesting perspective that it's not. Analytics has come a very long way in hockey. And this is why I, you know, I don't know anybody who does analytics that says, just look at numbers. They don't. Nobody does that. We say, watch the game and then supplement with analytics. Then you'll get a better picture of what actually is happening. Analytics isn't going to tell you everything. Watching isn't going to tell you everything either, because we're all naturally biased. We're not objective humans. We try to be, but we're not. So if you put them together, hopefully you get a much clearer picture. But luck still exists. You know, there's still variables that cannot be fully, fully explained. There's a perfect example in the Chicago Blackhawks history was, I think it was game one versus Boston. They're down 3-1 or 2-3-0 or something like that. To even the score, two different shots went off defensemen. I remember one went off like Oduya shot it and it just happened to go off the skate of something. And he was going to miss by like 5 feet. But they scored. And another one did a double deflection. And you're like, how does that happen? And part of it is that the Blackhawks were completely dominating in shot shares at that point anyway. So they're making their own luck. They're just shooting as much as possible. And anything can happen. That's the whole, you know, saying in hockey. But it's still pretty lucky that that one shot happened to go in then. Mm. You know, otherwise they don't tie the game. And they don't go to that insanely long overtime, and then they don't get the double doink off of Boland and Shaw, you know? So you have to make your own luck, but luck is still there.
Yeah. And that's not to say that like luck is all there is, because four of the last five cup winners have all been top five in expected goal share. Like that's, it's still a, analytics still can show you how good a team is. To clarify one thing for people who are still a little bit iffy on PDO, when we mean regress to the average in the NHL is supposed to be about like 1.00.
Yeah.
So like a 950 save percentage will be complemented by like a 0.05 shooting percent, 5% shooting percentage.
You just confused me even more.
I still there wasn't going to be any back.
Can we just watch the game? Okay, we all talked about this beforehand, and we kind of wanted to maybe do some specifics about teams. So what do you think, like, we're playing Nashville right now. Do you think teams like Nashville and Chicago are matters of talent or execution?
So clearly, I think the Blackhawks, especially with Philip Forsberg out, are supposed to be, like, the more talented team. Nobody on Nashville has scored more than 20 points this season, I think, besides Forsberg. And yet the Blackhawks lost, and you can see looking at the game analytically, you can sort of tell why. It's that the Blackhawks are still one of the worst teams in the league in terms of dropping both quality and quantity. They had 13 shots with 25 minutes left, last night, on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. That's not good numbers in any way. As LBR said, you have to sort of get your own puck luck, but you have to sort of put pucks on net to get that luck.
Now, I'm just gonna like jump in here too and say, like, as a person who's not an analytics but like an eyeballer, like, honestly, they were flailing. I felt terrible watching it, you know.
they're not having a good season, and that's partly because Jeremy Colliton doesn't know how to use the talent he's been given.
Thank you. I agree.
And I'll say, so normally, this is a funny thing about the eye test versus analytics. Usually when a team is playing poorly, people are like, oh yeah, the eye test totally matches the analytics. That makes sense. But when a team is doing poorly but winning, there's a lot more resistance to analytics. You're like, but the team is winning. And you're like, but they're not doing it in a sustainable way.
Well, that's luck, isn't it?
it's opportunity. In the case of the Blackhawks, they're one of the best teams on the rush. They actually are just generally really good off the rush. They actually have a lot of wasted opportunities off the rush too. But when they do get through, so they do very well. So they're they're waiting for these like min, like little breaks and scoring off of those. And that's great. It honestly shows how much talent they could have. Like, think about if they could possess the puck more, you know, if they could, if they can score that much off the rush, maybe they could do it more off the cycle if they could have the puck more in the offensive zone. Or if they were better, they're good at rush off the transition. Well, why aren't they doing that more? Like, why is that not more of a thing that they do? They did it very well against Florida, but that was one team, one game. Mm-hmm. And
do you think they're getting tired?
I don't know, because they've been getting worse in certain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, people were saying, oh, the, you know, the Southern trip of gloom. That was like the bottom of the barrel, but that wasn't just because of quality of competition. You know, yes, they were playing Florida and the Lightning, but some of those games weren't their worst of the season. Some, you know, they had bad games against, you know, mediocre teams to bad teams. One of their Detroit games was really bad, but they still won like by a bunch. That one Dallas game they won, they had no business winning that, but you know, they scored four goals off of eight shots, you know.
Yeah. That's,
I don't know why they're getting worse.
And to go with that, it's not like the Blackhawks were great last season either, the schedule was more regular. They like, it's not just
okay,
this,
fair. Totally.
It's not just this more intense schedule.
Yeah.
And it's not just the kids, because I think a lot of the young players are the ones doing really well.
Yeah. Again, you know? Adam, we continue to point to Adam Boqvist.
And then Brendan Hagel is another example, a little baby boy. He's so good at such, like, if he could actually shoot very well, because right now he's not scoring. And I don't know if that's talent or if he's like just not, like, something's not working for him right now. It totally could revert, you know, next year. He totally could. Kubik last year wasn't shooting for a long time, and even at the beginning of this season, even though he was getting looks, and then suddenly, you know, he goes on like a 30% shooting spree. That could happen to Hagel, but he's so good at such specific things that you are like, I'm not looking at this inexperience. It's not the inexperienced players playing poorly. So what is it? If the vets are doing pretty well individually, if the young players are doing well individually, there's still some coverage issues, but is that the players or is that the system? So we're still going to harp on the system thing, you know, like.
Yeah. and to go with that, Hagel is playing with one of the better forwards he can be playing with in Kubalik, but they need a center that's not David Kampf there to sort of generate more offense.
Yeah. Hmm. I got into a thing in the comments about, well, who's better? Is it Hagel or Kubalik? And I'm like, it's not really about which one of them is better. Right now, the older one, he's better. Kubalik is better. Hagel could get there. I don't know. I can't predict the future. But what I do know is that neither one of them are going to reach their potential this season, because there's just not a center with them, you know?
Exactly.
And it's not like one or two centers are actually going to take the team to the next level, but they definitely could take other individual players to the next level. We've all seen what happens when Patrick Kane is with mediocre players. He's still an all-star, but when he's with a Panarin or a DeBrincat or a Taves, he's, you know, one of the best. He's a top five producer. So yeah, it's all about, there's talent on this team, and I don't think it's totally being used correctly. And I think there's talent on the Predators, throwing this back to the Predators, but like, it's mostly their young kids and then a couple of their vets, and then they have.
Sure. And, you know, I actually, like, I just spoke to Nick Morgan on the forecheck, and he was saying that he feels like they have lost their chemistry, the Preds. Like, that there's that the team, there's no way in the next few years that they're going to make it to the playoffs.
You know that meme from SpongeBob with Patrick just going, who are all you people? That's what it was like when I was doing the preview for the game. I was like, who are some of these people on the Predators? So it's like, they're not in like that dissimilar of a position to the Hawks, where, you know, they're trying to interject these young players, and they have a couple of solid rookies. They have at least one really good rookie. And he dominated last night. Let's not joke. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. Is it
Tolvanen?
Tolvanen?
Tolvanen. I'm really bad.
Yeah,
Tolvanen.
Yeah.
He looked great. And he was obviously playing with, like, better players. But
I think they looked much better anyway. They just had more solid passes, and I don't know. We don't need to rehash that.
So if they lost their chemistry to the new guys, it might have just been time for them to get up, because they are missing, like, they're missing Duchesne, and they were missing Johansson last night, Forsberg, and, you know, but they did so well. So I'm just like, here's the Hawks who aren't losing. They actually had somebody get added in, Kirby Doc return, and he was amazing in his return. And you're just like, why was one team that supposedly is similarly, like, isn't a top tier team necessarily, has some rookies, is missing key players, why were they that much better than the Hawks last night? Visually and analytically.
Right. To clarify, Jarrett Johansson was there. He scored the first goal.
Oh, he was. Yes.
First, like, yep.
Sorry.
Forsberg was out. Right. And the fact that the Predators are still, again, are sort of operating with less talent than the Blackhawks. They don't have a DeBrincat. They don't have a Kane. But, like, they're coached better by a guy who was fired by the New Jersey Devils than the Blackhawks are by a new guy.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oof.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Okay, I have a couple other things I'd like to talk about. Which should I start with? Let's do more team stuff. So can we talk about the Sabres, like, just in general? also, I would like to embarrass myself and say I didn't realize that Corsi was first developed by the former Buffalo Sabres goalie coach, Jim Corsi. That's why it's Corsi.
Yeah.
Which is a great segue
right
into, let's just talk about Sabres, please.
Yeah, weirdly, the Corsi was originally designed for goaltenders, and then it was figured out, oh, it's better for skaters. And I think maybe the same thing with the Fenwick, which is wild. The Sabres are sort of an organization that the problem might not be management or coaching, or really even maybe roster talent. That's the sense I get.
It's their jerseys.
No, the sense I get is that it's higher ups, from the national reporting. Yeah. They're a team that's constantly rebuilding. And I don't think that's good in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather be mediocre at some point than constantly rebuilding.
Yeah. I'll say, so constantly rebuilding is a perfect example of, like, I felt for the last few years for the Blackhawks, part of the reason that they haven't really moved forward is because their roster changes so much. Buffalo is the same way. It's constantly shifting. They have so many new things, and I don't think there's a team that has been successful that had that much roster turnover. Maybe the Blues had, like, a few, like, they had most of their, like, centers, like, swap out, but, like, everything else stays the same. But other than adding at the deadline or one big splash, I can't remember the last very good team that had that much roster turnover from one year to the next. Also excluding Vegas, because they were obviously brand new. So that was all brand new people. But again, good coaching with good talent can overcome that kind of stuff. And I don't, yeah, the Buffaloes are always, Buffalo is just so always in flux. And the funny thing is they're not actually, like, the worst team in metrics, you know, like, they're hovering around, like, 48% shot share attempts, which is, like, 22nd, which is right around, like, St. Louis. You know, and St. Louis is considered an okay team this year. They maybe shouldn't be. Their expected goal share is like 47%, which is a bit lower than that. You know, they're like 24th or 25th. I can't remember off the top of my head, which is bottom of the league. But it's still better than the Jets, who are.
It's better than the Blackhawks.
It is better than the Blackhawks too, and the Blue Jackets, and you know the Kings, and the and it's like right on par with like the Coyotes, who again, some of these teams we're naming are both good and bad, and it's like how can you have that? How can you have that many teams that are all like jumbled up? And some of it is this season, but what is up with Buffalo? Buffalo can't get it together.
Yeah. Right. And some of that is luck, like that we've been talking about all this entire podcast. Because they don't have great goaltending, and then they don't have great shooting luck. Jeff Skinner in particular.
Yeah, Buffalo has a .963 PDO. So if you're trying to get to, if you think of that as like 96, then they're four off from 100. So that's like really low. Like the Blackhawks actually have right now like a 99.9 at 5.5, which is pretty even. And they're middle of the pack, which is probably why they've come down recently, because they were riding at the high. So right now could be exactly what the Blackhawks always have been. But Buffalo probably deserves better than they've been getting. Just how do they execute it? Now they're in like a spiral. Now they're...
It could even be psychological. I mean, seriously.
Totally could be. Yeah.
That's gotta be thrown in there.
Yeah. They need to be, they don't have shooting talent on their team. They don't have good goaltending. As I said, their metrics aren't great. They're not the worst, but they're not great. All of that turns into, this is a bad team.
Yeah. Especially in that division they're in. Like if you're a bad team in that division, you're going to be a horrible, you're going to look like a horrible team. If you're not.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So this is like just a fun speculative kind of thing that I was thinking about, but like, I was just talking last night after the game about like the Premier League in UK and in soccer, how they have relegations. And do you think we should do that in NHL? Do you think we should have like the fear of relegation for a couple teams?
The problem is, who are you promote? Like if there's regular relegations, you need promotions. And I don't think you can promote from the AHL. Because those are just development teams.
We'll just push everyone down. Now we're gonna prop anybody up.
Yeah, seriously, next year the NHL will be 20 teams. The 10 worst will have to go play by themselves somewhere else.
I love that.
that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you like help rebound some teams, because they keep trying to like change the draft to try to help.
Yeah.
Try your best. But then you get an Edmonton situation where they keep getting the best, quote unquote, best players in the draft.
Be careful what you say about Edmonton.
They're still not very, they still weren't very good during that time period. They're fine now. They're middle-ish of the pack too. Let's not.
Yeah.
Like they could be the Capitals. Like that's the thing. So we were just talking about how the Capitals were not good analytically. The Edmonton Oilers this year are better than that, but they have two of the top talents in the league, and obviously the very best talent in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's even pretending that there's anybody close to that.
Yeah, McDavid's getting pissed off, so
sure. He is,
and I don't think it's boding well for the team. But anyway, we're not talking about the Oilers.
No, but it's a perfect example of like talent versus, as long as a team can get you like even, sometimes talent can take you to the top. But you have to be even. And you bring it all the way back to the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks have talent, but they can't get even. So
yeah.
I just need progression. It's the same thing with Buffalo. I don't think Buffalo has some talents, just not, I don't know what they did to Dahl. I mean, poor Eichel, and I feel bad for them. One of my very good friends at my job, who left a couple of years ago, he was a Sabres fan, and I always felt bad because it was like during the height of the Blackhawks Cup years, and I'd be like, I'm so sorry for you, but can I please? You're the only person here that knows hockey. Can I talk to you? I'm like, and he's like, it's fine.
Don't rub it in. All right. Well, is there anything else you would like to add? Because like I think I have run the course of everything I'd like to talk about. It was a fantastic conversation.
Just keep in mind that again, this is the it's the most chaotic sport, but it's still, their analytics are still important. Cause again, you do look at the last few cup winning teams and they are all really good in terms of stats. So you have to be kind of, you do have to be both.
Yeah. And if you expand past the last five, even if you go to like the last 10, the last 12, Washington really is the only outlier, you know, like the rest of them are great. Like, I mean, even the 2015 Hawks team, which was not as quite as good as 2013, or even, I don't even know if they were as good as 2014, honestly, but they still had good analytics across the board. You need, I think, good analytics just to be in the conversation. And then after that, it's up to the individual players to execute whatever good system they're in to win, usually.
Yeah. And you do have to, execute, because the last five cup winners, I just measured the last five. The last five cup winners all had PDOs above 100, except Pittsburgh, and it's except the 15, 16 Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs. But the regular season, they were above it.
Yeah. And
so, do you think the Hawks are going to make it to the playoffs? Like, honestly, at this point?
The goaltending needs to rebound, and the shooting probably needs to stay where it's at.
Yeah.
I think it depends on. So I thought they did a pretty good job of getting up to better teams. Like, they were like playing a little bit better occasionally against better teams, but then they're in a race and they're literally neck and neck with the team they're playing now, the Predators, and they don't show up for the first 15 minutes.
Yes.
And it's not just that the Predators countered them. Like, I think credit to the Predators team for, you know, shutting them out in certain ways. But it just didn't look like the team was all there. There were way too many errant passes. Coverage was weird again.
Totally.
So it was just, I don't know, if they make it, it'll be, they need to play better to make it, or they need to move back. One of the two. They can't. Mm-hmm.
They are not currently coached like a playoff team.
I totally agree with that.
I don't think so either. And I actually don't know if it's, like, I'm not one that thinks about tanking at all, because I think that, again, that can breed a culture that's not good for the team. And honestly, this next draft is going to be a good draft. It's just not as defined as other drafts. And it's not quite, from what most people say, it's not quite the quality of the last few drafts plus the 2022 draft. Mm-hmm. They're still going to be good players. So if there was ever a team to not want to tank, you know, because you're going to get, there's going to be players available wherever you fall out in the first round, and there's not going to be a consensus on them. So go for it. You should go for it. Like, this is a good experience learning season, and the playoffs are a good experience. They're probably going to get whooped, but that's okay, that there's experience in that. But I just need them. I don't want them making the playoffs playing poorly to impact them in the future, because sometimes teams will stay the course when a team makes the playoffs, even if the team shouldn't, like, really shouldn't have, weren't playing very well. And it's just, you
don't. I mean, from how they played last night, that's not a playoff. They're not a playoff team.
You just, you don't want them to go, hey, they made the playoffs, they made this goal, so
they're
on the right track. And it's like, but are they really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So hopefully they're thinking we're doing these things right. And then next year they can be like, take those good things we did and adapt them to something else. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Oh, we are just so sunshiny and happy today, aren't we?
No. I mean, again, leave it on a positive note that you got to be excited about the kids, you know?
Yes. Like, Thank you.
Be excited about all of them, because a lot of them have been doing very well. And even when they had a couple of, you know, again, on the Southern trip of gloom, everybody was bad and the kids weren't that great either, but everybody was not good.
Yeah.
And they're all rebounding nicely. Like, I was saying that, like, Suter is like a perfect example of that. He disappeared almost completely. There was nothing happening for him. He wasn't even involved in a lot of the goals that DeBrincat and Kane were scoring. And they're a little too monogamous. They need to involve their center a little more. And then finally it's happening. And he's getting back into it. So you're like, let him have those moments of lulls, and then let them ride it through, because they're still going to come out looking well. And now we have Kirby Doc back, so that's extremely exciting. So, you know?
Yeah.
look at the positives individually, maybe not team-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and be grateful that the Blackhawks will be able to survive the Seattle expansion draft pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that was a fantastic conversation. Thanks so much. And let's go Hawks.
Yes. Yay, Hawks. Yes. I do. I want them to win. I teeter between these two things of I want them to perform better, but then I'm also like, I want them to win too. So yes, let's go Hawks.
Lock. Let's go Hawks.
Play good, play to win. Both things. Both of both
right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.